I want you to just open your hearts because, see, you come here for something. And when God speaks to us and when God begins to say something, there's purpose for it. And, you know, I have found out with me, God wants me to get right. You know, God wants me to learn something in every situation. And so I feel like God is teaching us all something tonight. We're going to learn something from this conference. And so we're going to just take a moment and we're going to share the word of God with you. And I will tell you that what I'm speaking tonight was not what I was going to speak on the first night. It was not at all. But we were at a conference just a few weeks ago, and we were part of a conference, and someone got up and they spoke. And when they spoke, there was something that they said that just ignited, and I thought, oh, that'll preach at the women's conference. And I was thinking maybe, you know, when we go overseas. But the more that I thought about it, the more that God just really began to roll it in my, and I thought, I'll take that message and we'll see if we can tear it up. I don't know. It was so good, but I just wanted to share with you tonight, because we are known. God knows us, every one of us. And that's so hard for some of us to grasp, is that God loves us, that he really cares about us. And it's a hard thing sometimes. But I'm going to put a subtitle to it, and it wasn't my subtitle. It was the minister that I listened to, but he handed me his message afterwards. I went to him, and I said, oh, I love that. I would love to get some of your notes. He said, here, take them. And so I took them, and I come home, and I was so excited because I was trying to write down as fast as I could when he was preaching. But he called it Getting Naomi Back. And so that's what we're going to talk about tonight, because there's a thief that goes around trying to steal from us our identity and who we are in Christ, is always trying to get us sidetracked. How many of you have been sidetracked more than once in your life? How about 100, 1,000 times? The enemy will try to, every day, he will try to draw us out of his will, out of the will of God, and try to get us distracted. I am so amazed at how many thoughts can go through my mind in just 30 seconds. We can have a lot of thoughts, but the more that I have trained my mind, when I wake up in the night, I think about him. I worship and I praise. I just tell him how good he is. But I'm telling you, it took me a long time because I don't sleep the best, but when I sleep, he gives his beloved rest. But I don't sleep a whole lot, and my mind will think about all the things of the day. We women, we do that as we get older. We just do. And maybe some of you young ones, you're still just so tired from babies and all that, you wish you could sleep. But I've gone way past that, but it's still hard sometimes. But my mind, I have trained it to think on the things of the Lord. And I get some of the best nuggets at night. It's just so precious, so sweet. And so I encourage you that every opportunity that you have, let's turn our minds to Christ. Let's pull down those strongholds and let's think what the Word of God wants us to think. So we're going to start off today with what you're going to see throughout this conference, because we're going to put it up, Jeremiah 1 and 5, because it is what God spoke to our hearts when we were talking about having this conference. But I'm reading it out of the message, and it says, before I shaped you in the womb, I knew all about you. That just blows me away. I don't know about you, but I'm like, isn't that something? That before I was ever thought about in my mother's womb, God already knew everything about me. But the same is for you. God knew all about you before you were ever born. And he still loves us and he still wants to use us. That's the most amazing thing that I've ever heard of. That's what makes me so excited, that he knew me. He knew my shortcomings, but he wanted to use me anyway. That's hard for me to understand. I was the least likely, but he used me anyway. And he's no respectful person. All I did was I just kept saying yes over and over. Yes, because my choices only got me in trouble. My choices only made me miserable. My choices affected other people negatively if I didn't give my heart and my life to him. So I began to say yes more and more. Before you saw the light of day, I had holy plans for you. A prophet, a voice, a testimony to the nations, to the people. That's what I had in mind for you. We are all called to the nations. Nations just mean people. We're all called to spread the word of God, the news, the good news. Tell about the goodness of God, what he's done in your life, not about what a hard time you've had, but how good God is in your hard times. Amen? I'm excited about all the celebrities that's in this room. My goodness, we have a lot of celebrities in here. I'm excited about that. May I introduce you to the celebrities? I want to tell you about them. If you look to your right and you look to your left, you are all sitting next to a well-known person. God knows you very well. You are a celebrity. You are a celebrity. He knew you before you were ever born. Before you were thought about, he knew you, had a plan for you. And the enemy thought that he was going to deceive you as soon as you got old enough to take a toy away from your brother. God still had a good plan for you. He saw you. Psalm 139, 16 through 18 says this. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. I'm so thankful that the blood, covered all that stuff that's not necessary in the book anymore. Amen. Aren't you thankful for that? Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. How precious. How precious are your thoughts about me? How precious is God's thoughts about you? He thinks good things over you. And when the devil tells you you're not worth anything, you mess up everything, you begin to say, oh, that may have been who I was, but that's not how God sees me. God sees me and God cares about me. Amen. Oh, God, your thoughts, how precious are your thoughts about me, oh, God? They cannot be numbered. I can't even count them. They are outnumbered the grains of sand. Oh, my goodness, you talk about something that's awesome. We cannot count the grains of sand, but his thoughts, he has so many thoughts about each one of us. We can't understand the magnitude of a God that loves us, that knows us, that called us, created us, and sent us into a world where we could share the love of Jesus Christ that he sent for us. I can't even count them. They're outnumbered, the grains of sand. When I wake up, you are still with me. He is with us every day. In God's eyes, he says, you're a big deal. You're a celebrity. Hey, woman and man of God, you're a big deal. You really are. See, your confidence. I've had people say, you're so confident. I'm like, no, I'm not. Not in me. But I have confidence. That's coolness under stress, you know? But the truth is, I am confident in the call that God puts on. Because, see, I don't have to rely on Darlene Rhodes up here. I can rely on the anointing of the Holy Ghost. I can anoint. I can rely on the call of God. Confidence in who he is. We walk in that, woman and man of God. Walk in his confidence. In who he has you to be. Now, if I was who I thought I would be, well, it wasn't much of anything, truthfully. At all. Zephaniah 3:17 says, for the Lord your God is living among you. He is a mighty Savior. Oh, he's living among us. A mighty Savior. We're entertaining. We're living in our household with a mighty Savior that loves us so very much. We are important. We are his children. He will take delight in you with gladness. With his love, he will calm all your fears. If you're fearful, it's because we haven't let him calm our fears yet. Because we're still going by our heads. We're still going by suggestions of the enemies. But the word of God says that he will calm your fears. And he will rejoice over you with joyful songs. Isn't it something to think that God sings over you? That he's happy over you? He is. Quit listening to the devil that says you aren't worth anything. And the devil trying to take your song away from you. The book of Ruth is the beloved story. And we've heard it. I've preached on it. We all preach on Ruth. And we mentioned Naomi, but tonight we're going to talk about Naomi. Ruth was used by God. We know that she was to bring hope and change to a nation. We know that. But also we know that that she was a woman that her world, Ruth's world, had been turned upside down. Ruth had lost her husband. She had lost her father-in-law. She had lost her brother-in-law. So she had a lot of losses. But there was something about Ruth that was different. And so Naomi, we're going to talk about her a little bit, because there are those that's in this audience tonight. You've been wounded. You've been distracted. You've been hurt by happenings of life. You've had death. You've had betrayal. You've had financial lack. You've had relationships. You've had situations with your children. You've had rejections. You've had inner hurts. There's many people that walk around with a wounded soul because of what somebody else has said or somebody else has done that didn't care, that just threw them into the trash heap of life. So many times that's what has happened. Because see, the enemy's plan is to steal, kill, and destroy us. He wants to stop us. He doesn't want us to live life and live life more abundantly that Jesus came to give us. Isaiah 16:10 says, "And gladness is taken away, and joy out of the plentiful field." We've all lived in this time. We've all felt this way before. "And in the vineyards there shall be no more singing, neither shall there be shouting. The treaders shall tread out no wine in their presses. I have made their vintage shouting to cease." There's times in our life, and I ministered on this a few weeks ago, when we were talking about how heaviness and bondage will, if we're not careful, that heaviness will settle in over our life. And it is just like a cloak, and it will stop us from being what God has called us to be. And I talked about the fact that there's times in my life where I lost my song, and I didn't even realize that I had lost it until, you know, one day I was like, "I want to sing, but I don't feel like I can sing." And there was that time that it having a spirit of heaviness, and it will overwhelm us, and it'll take the song, it'll take the joy of living to many. But God wants us to get our song back. God wants us to come back to that place in Him that He's the most important thing. God, restore our song, the joy of our salvation. That's what we want you to do, is leave this conference with your song intact and singing it. Grief is a sorrow. Is something that we all experience. It's an emotion that allows us to empty out the deep feelings that must not be kept. But the enemy, isn't it interesting? God made us with emotions, but the enemy wants to take those emotions and trap us inside. He wants to take those emotions and to destroy us and keep us from believing that God wants to do something powerful in our life. When the book of Ruth, the story starts with Elimelech moving his family from Bethlehem to Judea. And it was from there to Moab because there was a famine in the land. So they left the place where they should be, Bethlehem and Judea. That was their home. But there was famine coming. And so being a loving husband and all, he took his wife and they moved to Moab. Naomi, at that time, she was so in love, she was so excited, she would have followed that man anywhere because she believed he was taking care of her. And when she got into Moab, there was blessings. The famine wasn't affecting them that much. She had her children, she had her sons. Her sons were little. They were exciting. God was good. Things were good. They're so glad they came. It was a joyful time. You know, about the time you get real joyful and things are going well, the enemy doesn't like that, so he'll begin to try to steal. He'll begin to try to distract. Naomi was known. Her name meant pleasant. She was a pleasant person. But as we read the chapter of Ruth, we'll find out that Naomi's husband had passed away. Naomi's two sons had passed away. That's hard. That's tough times. Those are times when you've like, "Oh God, you've forgotten me. You've forsaken me. What am I going to do now?" It wasn't just losing a son. I mean, that would have been bad. But she lost two sons. That would have been really bad, but she lost the love of her life. Now what's she going to do? She's in a land that really wasn't her home. She was sorrowful. She was grieving. So she decides that she's going to go back. She's going to go back home. She's going to go back to Bethlehem. She's going to go back to the place she came from. And she goes. We read in the 19th verse, the first chapter, we read that. They reach Bethlehem. When she gets there, here comes all the people that know her. They're racing out. They're so excited to see Naomi. Naomi has come home. And they're happy. The word of God says the entire city came. They were stirred. In verse 20, it says, and the two of them went on until they came to Bethlehem. And when they come into Bethlehem, the whole town was stirred because of Naomi, because of them. And the women said, is this Naomi? They were excited that Naomi was here. And then she turns around and she says, don't call me Naomi. Instead, call me Mara, because I am bitter. The Almighty has made my life very bitter for me. I went away full. I had everything. I still had my dreams intact. I still had a vision. I still had hope. But all of a sudden, there's nothing to be hoped for. I'm just really bitter. So just call me Mara, because that's what that my name means. Call me Mara. Call me bitter. That's who I am. Her words were stinging to those that were excited. This was not the Naomi that they knew, the Naomi that they had grown up to love all those years and had been full of life. She had been pleasant. She was kind. She loved people. And she really, really cared. And then she comes back. And she's not the same Naomi. It's interesting because, see, Naomi's bitterness almost controlled the narrative of Ruth. Now, that's a profound thought. That her bitterness almost controlled the whole book of Ruth. She almost allowed her bitterness to become the story. What a painful thought that we allow our bitterness into someone else's story. Don't pull me in your story because you're bitter. We need to learn how to tell people, don't pull me in your bitter story. Don't pull me where Mara is. It almost happened. No one would have argued that her life was bitter. I mean, it's fact. We go through things. It's hard. It's painful. But in reality, the truth is, a poor attitude is what makes us bitter. If you're bitter towards something, check yourself. Quit blaming everybody else. Check yourself. You got something going on in your life you just need to get rid of. You need to repent. I tell you, the best thing that any of us does is learn where our knees at, if you can get on your knees at all. Whatever you got to do, learn to humble yourself before God, because that's what we need. If we want to be used of God, we have to humble ourselves before God. See, life doesn't choose our attitude. We get to choose our attitude. We're responsible for our attitude. That's harsh, isn't it? Isn't it? If I'm acting up and I'm feeling ugly, it's my fault. I can say it's everybody else, but it's my fault. And you know what? God will let me stew in my stuff as long as I want to stew. And he'll let you too. You can stew as long as you want to. And you, as long as you point fingers and you don't say, God, I'm wrong. I repent. I'm wrong, if nothing else, for the attitude that I had. The word of God and the history of those who fought through sicknesses, we find out that there are so many through the word of God. They had such tragic things that happened their way, tragedies, handicaps, poverty, war, rape, and unbelievable atrocities that happened to people in the word of God. And we know that it's all around us. We know that people suffer all the time at the hands of many other people. But still, there are people that go through so many things that hurt and are painful, but they choose to keep an amazing attitude of overcoming. When we are overcomers, we will not be a Mara. When we learned that, you know what, I enjoy being Naomi much better than I enjoy being Mara, because nobody else likes my pity party. I don't even like my pity party. So I'm not going to be a Mara. I'm going to be a Naomi. Amen? If you're bitter today, Mara, we want to help you get your Naomi back. That's what we want to do in this house today, because you weren't always bitter. When you were a baby, I bet you laughed and cooed, even if you had a parent that didn't really care for you. There is that instinct that just can't help it because you came from a God that put that in you. You used to laugh. You used to dream. You used to taste. You used to serve. You used to sing. But when your husband moved, you and your two sons to Moab because of family, you had hope at that time. You had Imelech. You had your two sons who got married. And all those two beautiful daughter-in-laws. Don't you love those beautiful daughter-in-laws, mother-in-laws? They're beautiful. We thank God for our daughter-in-laws. They were excited. They were hopeful for the day that they would hold those grandbabies. They were excited about that. But life throws things our way, unexpected, unbearable pain. That's what hurts a Naomi. It hurts really bad when things happen that is out of our control. We could do nothing about it. We couldn't make it okay. And it was painful, and it's hurt us. Naomi lost them. Life was unfair. Had God been unfair? It's so easy for us to focus on blaming someone or something. Ever since the garden, we did that real quick. Adam and Eve, they changed it. They shifted it really fast. Adam said, God, it's the woman that you gave me. Basically, God, it's your fault. That woman that you gave me, it's your fault, God. That's what he was saying, honestly. And then Eve, bless her heart, she said, it was a serpent that deceived me. We've been blame shifting all of our life. And until we, Mara, until we quit blaming someone else for our predicaments and our messes and our feelings and our hurt. You hurt my feelings. Well, so what? Get over it. You need a Judas in your life. It'll strengthen you. You'll learn that God loves you anyway. Jesus had a Judas that sat at his table, but he went ahead and he broke bread with him. You haven't learned how to trust God until you learn how to get over Judas. Oh, yeah. Come on. We can't grow without a Judas. We don't like it. I don't like it when friends betray you and you thought they would be with you forever. They would fight for you, but now they're fighting you. It's okay. Same thing happened with the disciples sitting around the table. The disciples, they were like, they didn't suspect Judas. Is it me? Is it him? Who is it? Who's going to betray? They were troubled. They didn't know. Jesus knew all along. You've got to know that there is a Judas out there. And it's okay. It's all right. Because God still says you're a celebrity. God still says I've got a call on your life. I still care for you. Your children may not talk to you. They may be mad at you. But that's all right. Your mom and dad may be mad at you, but that's all right. They should. If you're moody and you have to close yourself off in a closet somewhere, then I say, ask God to help you get out of that so you can quit being Mara. I spent some time as Mara. I spent some time of my life, and it's no fun being there. I will not be Mara again. I choose to be Naomi. I choose to get my song back. I choose to get that back which God has promised me. And I can't do it if I'm worried about what everybody else thinks about me or says about me or about my church or about people that I love. I tell my staff all the time, just pretend that it didn't happen. That's what Catherine Kuhlman did. I even have sleeves like her tonight. Boy, these things, they've been trying, let me tell you. Tiffy said, am I doing good? Keep your arms through. I almost took it off a while ago, but it is our colors, right? Yeah. How do you get Naomi back? Naomi was known by God. She was chosen to be a wife and a mother. She was chosen to be pleasant. She was chosen to be a lover of her family. She was chosen to be a friend because a whole city was excited that she was coming home. You read the word of God, it'll tell you the whole town. They were excited. Naomi was back, and Naomi said, oh no, Naomi is not back. I'm Mara. Because I've been struck with things that have broken my heart. I've been struck with things that I can't stand up under. But God has a way of chosen, turning our stories around. Mara didn't really fit Naomi because God had given her her name. The enemy is always going to try to give you another name. Always. He tries to identify you. Have you ever seen so many identity crises in your life? It's all a work of the enemy. If the enemy can, don't judge those that are having such a rough time. Just know that you've had a struggle with who you are too. Because the enemy comes and he tries to tell us whatever we are. And God says, don't listen to him. Because let me tell you who you are. But number one, we got to learn. I'm going to go quickly now. Our worship team's coming back just a minute. There are four crucial factors in taking back what the enemy of our soul has stolen from us. Don't you want it back? Don't you want to get your song back? Don't you want to get your joy back? All right. I used to sing all the time. I had a dear friend, a staff member that was around me. She'd say, I always know when you were in the bathroom because you're singing. I knew it was you. Somewhere along the way, I lost my song. And when I realized I lost it, I wanted it back. And I did everything I could do until it came back. You know what brings me joy and brings my song back? Serving you. Serving our church. Serving overseas and preaching the word of God. That's what brings my joy. Besides that time that I have with God, I get with God and I talk with God and I walk with God. Not because I'm special, but because he is. Because without him, I might become bitter again. But because of him, I can. He knows my name. He named me. I belong to him. Number one, you got to stop blaming God. You may say, I don't blame God. It's this, it's that. No, if you're using excuses, you just don't want to say, I blame God. You're too nice for that. God knows the truth. Because I don't understand why God would let this happen. We don't have to understand why he let this happen. I'll tell you real quickly, it's choice. We live in a fallen world. And there's a devil that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I always say it like this. We have two forces. On this hand is the devil. On this end is God. If it's not good news, it definitely is not my God. If it's something that's lying or pulling somebody else down, and it's not lifting somebody up, it's of the devil. And if you ever want to go anywhere with God, we have to learn to rightly divide the word of God into truth. That's because so many people blame God. Naomi had fallen into a deception of the devil. She was blaming God for everything. Verse 21, she says, I went away full. This is what she's telling to those friends that were waiting for her. She was vomiting all over them. She was saying, I went away full, but God has brought me home empty. Have you ever been on that party? Have you ever had a pity party like that? Boy, she's having a good one in here. Why call me Naomi when God has caused me to suffer and Almighty has sent such a tragedy on me? Poor Mara. She chose to believe at that moment. And we've all been there. So see, God don't hold it against us. Don't you love that? I just love that. That God loves me so much that he forgives me. But he wants me to learn to quit falling back in tomorrow. Do you know that if we keep going tomorrow, God will keep you on your seat? I said, I spent more time on the front row than I did in the pulpit. And most of it was my actions, my attitude. And God said, you're not ready yet. You're not ready yet. Just sit here and learn. Just sit here and let me speak to you. You don't have to be seen. You don't have to do anything. In fact, God, I'd rather stay behind the scenes. But he says, deal with you. If you deal with you, I'll take care of where I'll send you where I need you to go. I'll open doors that no man can close. But I'll always go before you and I'll surround you and I'll be behind you. We often fail to thank God for the sunshine, but we consistently blame him for the rain. Isn't it amazing, the storm? But we forget to thank him. Be thankful with a grateful heart. today was not maybe the day that was picture perfect. Maybe there were situations. Maybe there were things that happened that just took your breath. But God is still God. And he's still faithful, and we make a choice. One of the most questions that humanity will ask is, why did God allow that? And in that statement, why would God allow that? In that statement, it's always about our pain, right? It's about what is happening to us. And God says, if you'll trust me, I'll get you past your pain. If you'll trust me, I'll get you past what's hurting you. I'll get you to that place you need to be. Remember the Israelites in the wilderness. God just, he took care of them. But they would cry and they would complain over and over, time after time, time after time. It just kept happening. They'd say, why did you bring us here to die? God, did you bring me here to die? What's this all about? What is this? Exodus 16:3 says, they said, if only you had killed us back in Egypt, they moaned. God, why didn't you take me out back? Why didn't you take me out back then? Why didn't you take me out? And God says, no, I brought you through that to strengthen you. The only reason that the Israelites didn't have victory is because they didn't learn their lessons. They kept doing the same thing over and over and over again. And I want to encourage you, women. I'm telling you what, you don't have to be anything special because we're not. We are not. We are just daughters of the King that say yes. We get struck like everybody else does. The only difference is we have weapons. And if you don't use the weapons that are made available to you through the Word of God, through Jesus Christ, then the enemy will run shod over you. He will absolutely flatten you out like a pancake. But God says, I have a plan. I have a plan. And do you know that creation groans for Christ? That's why God wants to send us all to his nations. They're groaning for the day of the Lord to appear. We only get to see maybe our small areas of life, but there are people around you that are wanting someone to give them some good hope because they have no hope. They are Mara. They are bitter. And they don't need us telling them how bad our situation was. They need us telling them that God delivered me. I was a mess, but God delivered me. And that same God that delivered me wants to set you free. I will pray with you. I will pray for you until you get through this situation. God needs every one of us to help someone pull them on over into the joy of the Lord. Life is hard sometimes, but God is so good. Number two, come back home. The beginning of Mara becoming Naomi was coming back home. Remember that she left. She needed to come back. She left the house of bread. We need to be careful. We need to stay in the house of bread. Is where everything started in the first place. It was a famine in the land that scared Elimelech and Naomi away. Because, see, there were friends that made it through the famine. They were greeting her. They made it. They made it. You can make it no matter where you're at and no matter what the famine is. God's got a plan for you. But sometimes we miss this part of the story that wants to show us that Naomi left the house of bread. There was a famine, but others were living strong. Sometimes there are those who once lived strong and secure in the house of God. They got scared off by a storm or a trial or just too much stuff in their life. And the next thing you know, they began to pull back little by little. Well, leaving God's family brought more pain and sorrow into her life than she could hardly stand. Like the prodigal, though, the family was waiting there for her. Mara, welcome. Mara, we love you. Yeah, we get off track sometime, but Mara, we love you. There's a place for you. We're so glad you're home. We're glad you came back. We're so happy. We're not going to look at, and we're not going to point our fingers at you that you left the bread. We all made it. Why didn't you stay here with us? You wouldn't have lost your husband. He wouldn't have died if you'd stay here. Isn't it interesting how people just want to help you out so much? But the Word of God doesn't show us that. They welcomed her. We're here to sit in his presence. Worship team, would you come? To sing a song of the Lord. The enemy has stolen from our lips. Are you in the house tonight and you've lost your song? Your lips do not sing a praise. You can't sing a praise in the middle of the night when you get up. There's some of you that haven't sang by yourself, just to you and the Lord. Think about it. How long has it been? How long has it been since you really recognized the goodness, the preciousness of God? How long has it been? But I believe that we're here to sing a song of the Lord that the enemy has stolen from our lips. We're going to trade in that spirit of heaviness. We're going to trade our sorrows for joy tonight. Psalm 137, 1 through 4 is one of this passage of scripture. I think of it so many times. And this is when people give up. Hey, church, we're a New Testament. We're living in a New Testament dispensation of Jesus Christ. But yet the Old Testament still teaches us and trains us and tells us examples of those in hard times that still lived to sing a song of joy. But by the waters of Babylon, there we sat down and wept. Oh, we remembered how good it was. Oh, those were the good old days. There's nothing going on anymore. Nobody, there's no church around here that has the Spirit of God. Oh, if you got the Spirit of God and you go into that church, how dare we judge what God wants to do and how he wants to do it? Who are we? On willows there we hung our lyres, our harps. For there our captors required of us songs, and our tormentors burst, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. How can we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? You can sing a Lord's song anywhere you are at. When we learn to sing, oh, bless the Lord, oh, my soul, and all that is in me. Oh, come on, my soul. Come on. You're getting weary. You're getting a little tired. Come on, my soul. You're thinking thoughts that you don't need to be thinking. Come on. Praise the Lord. Come on. Come on. Get up and sing a song of the Lord. We got to begin to let our lips begin to prophesy to the powers of darkness when we begin to praise and we begin to worship and we begin to tell our soul, come on now. This is a women's conference. I'm going to put things on hold. I'm going to put a pause on the devil. And devil, I want you to know that I'm going to leave and I'm not going to leave without my song. I am not going to leave without the song of the Lord coming off my lips. In troubled times, the enemy will try so hard to get us to lose our song. It's one of the most valuable things that we have. We lose our joy, we sit down, and we only see what we've lost. I've gained so much more than I've ever lost in life. And so have you, no matter how bitter it has been. We've gained so much more than we lost. You may not feel like it today. You don't have to feel like it. You know the Master. You know the Creator that created you. He has good things for you. We become Mara, bitter, anger. Number three, we need to recognize Ruth. One of the tragedies of Mara was she didn't recognize the gift of Ruth. God wants you to be a Ruth. Every woman here, God wants you to be a Ruth to somebody. When we focus on our pain and problems, we fail to recognize the blessings around us. We fail to recognize men and women of God that are speaking into our life. Ruth had told her, I'm going to go with you. I'm going to, where you go, I'm going to go. I'm going to go with you. Your God is going to be my God. You know, I could have stayed in Moab. But if nothing else come out of you going into the land of Moab, I'm here. And obviously, I've heard you talk about your God in the past. I've heard you, so I want to go with you. No, I'm not going to go back, because God has put a future with you and me together. See, God has, you know, at our church, the women that we have in our church, the men that we have in our church, we want to journey with them, because God has put us together. You want to journey with your church members, your church people. You want to journey with your roots. You want those that will encourage you, and they'll say, don't, no. You're not thinking right. You need to change what's coming out of your mouth. God's good to you. I love you, but you can't stay this way. Ruth chapter 1, verse 22. So Naomi returned from Moab, accompanied by her daughter-in-law Ruth, the young Moabite woman. They arrived in Bethlehem in late spring at the beginning of barley harvest. Now there was a wealthy, influential man in Bethlehem named Boaz. And you know what? Someday you'll get yours, Chris. I know it. But he has to be the real deal, the real thing. You don't need anybody that you got to prop up and puff up. Mm-mm. Now, if you're married, just keep on propping them up and believe in God. Male or female. It just happened to be a women's conference, as she said. Boaz, who was a relative of Naomi's husband, Elimelech. One day, Ruth and the Moabite said to Naomi, let me go out to the harvest field. Oh, this Ruth, don't you thank God for the Ruths in your life? I'll help you. I believe in you. I'll help you. Yeah, come on now. Together, we can do this. God's putting people around you. You can do this. Sometimes we isolate ourselves so we can blame everybody else not reaching out to us. Come on now. That's a pity part. That's an escape thing. You have as many people around you as you choose to. Boy, that's good. Let me go into the harvest field to pick up the stalks of grain left behind by anyone kind enough to let me do that. Oh, God's always got a way. Ruth is saying, I'm not going to sit here pouting. I lost my husband. I lost my father-in-law. I lost my brother-in-law. But I got you. I still got you, Naomi. I still got you. You call yourself Mara, but I still got you. Oh, thank God for you. Ruth is saying, I'm hoping, I'm trying. But I will tell you this, the worst thing a Mara can do is move in with another Mara. The worst thing a Mara can do is move in with another Mara. Thank God for Ruth. In the bitter seasons of God, life, God will place a Ruth near you. I love you, Holly. Come on, you can hope again. Life's not over. You're still living. We're still breathing. There's hope. There's still hope for our future. God's not forgotten who you are and where you're at. Life may be over as you knew it. We've all had deaths in our lives. We've had deaths. Things out of our control, nothing we can do about it. It's going to happen to all of us. But that doesn't mean that God doesn't have the next step. My life was not what it used to be. But God gave me a new life. He gives me a new hope, a new beginning. And it's for everybody. Today's a brand new beginning. It's a brand new day. I have a good plan, says the Lord, for you, a plan for your life. Just trust me. Recognize Ruth. Recognize those that can speak into your life. Recognize them. Verse 19 says, Ruth, at the end of the second chapter, Ruth comes home with abundance of groceries. Read the book of Ruth. It's great. Maybe you're getting some nuggets tonight that'll make you want to go back and read it. Verse 19, where did you gather all this grain today? Naomi asked. She's still kind of Mara. Kind of. She's still Mara. But they call her Naomi because, see, that's what she was really supposed to be called. Where did you work at? May the Lord bless you for the one that helped. She was beginning to see. May God open your eyes. I don't want you to leave this conference when you leave without your eyes being open that God has sent you help. God's sending you hope. He wants to put your song back. He wants to change your outcome. The story goes on, and Ruth tells her mother-in-law that that the man's name was Boaz. And all hope springs up. It's a new day. Aren't you thankful when hope springs up in your life? It's a new day. I heard a word at the conference. It's a new day. I'm hopeful. I'm glad in the Lord. So come on, my soul, get with it. We got to worship the Lord. I'm going to get my song back while I'm here. The words that came out of Naomi's mouth, it was, well, may the Lord bless him. And Naomi begins to talk. Well, she's getting a little bit excited here. He is showing kindness to us. Notice the us. She said, he's showing kindness to us. Oh, all of a sudden, she stepped from Mara into Naomi. Isn't that good? Hey, I challenge you, step from Mara tonight. You've been kicked around from place to place in your mind. It's time that we step back into the name that God, he knows my name, to the name that God has given us. It's time we step back into that and we live in that. Not because we won't have any more troubles or trials or situation, because we're always going to, for in this world, you shall have troubles and you shall have tribulations. There shall be trials. But I have delivered you out of every one of them, saith the Lord. He just has. He just has. Naomi is seeing that God hasn't left her out. And it goes on. She says, as well as your dead husband. Showing his kindness to us, as well as your dead husband. Wow. And then I love what she says. The man that is one of our closest relatives, one of our family, Redeemer. And if you read the book of Ruth and you understand what a redeemer goes through, and he did, he followed all the steps. We don't have time to get into it tonight. But the words that came out of her mouth was, he's a redeemer. Do you know that the redeemer is in the house tonight?
Yeah.
The Boaz that you need in your life, he's here in your life. Naomi was getting excited because that was a family member. The Redeemer has come to redeem us. In her pain, she had forgot that God had a plan for her. But Naomi was known by God. In her grief, she had forgotten God's goodness. So as the story unfolds in chapters 2 and 3, we see Naomi coming back. Mara is fading. The mind is a battlefield. But the Word of God tells us, and it doesn't matter how bad that our mind has been encaptured by the enemy. It says we can pull down the strongholds by renewing our mind to the Word of God. We have to learn to open our mouth and say to the enemy of our soul, in the name of Jesus, get out of my life and stop this nonsense. So get yourself in line with the Word of God, because God wants something for you to do. He has called you. He has anointed you. And you can't spend your time sitting on the bench when God's got a mission for you. Chapter 3, she begins, Naomi's back. Naomi's back because she begins to impart wisdom into Ruth about what to do. She got out of herself and she began to invest in someone else. When we get out of ourselves, it's easy to get excited about other people and what's happening in their life. Before long, Naomi made history. If she had stayed bitter, she would have just died and that would have been the end of Naomi. But God loves her so much. See, God loves you so much. You are a history maker. Ruth 14:13-17. So Boaz took Ruth and she became his wife. And he went unto her and God gave her conception. She bore a son. Then the women said to Naomi, those women that met her at the gates of the city, recognize the gifts and the goodness that God's doing in people's life. Encourage them. Encourage them and say, look what God's doing. Look what God's doing. You wondered what you were going to do. They said, blessed be the Lord who has not left you this day without a redeemer. And may his name be renowned in Israel. They just prophesied over her. They just said to her, because you are back and you're not singing the sad song anymore. And because you're not in self-pity for yourself, but you're getting excited that your daughter-in-law, instead of pulling her down, she just helped you. And you're getting excited about what the future is holding. She's married. He shall be to you a restorer of life, a nourisher of your old age. For your daughter-in-law who loves you, who is more to you than seven sons, have given birth to him. Remember the complaints? We didn't read it. But she was telling her daughter-in-laws when she was trying to get them to go back. You know, I can't produce you more sons to marry. I'm too old. I can't do that. But see, God had another plan. When you say you can't, God's still got a plan. God doesn't forget you. I don't care how old you are. He'll use a youngin' like me to travel around the world. You never get too old. Get it out of your mind. When I'm done, I just want to go to sleep and go on. But I can't go until these under me are ready to take it out and keep it going. He shall be your restorer of life and nourisher of your old age for your daughter-in-law who loves you. More than seven sons, and you only had two. It's more than if God had given you seven sons. Then Naomi took the child and laid him on her lap and became his nurse. And the women of the neighborhood gave him a name, saying, a son has been born to Naomi. Stand to your feet. A son has been born to what once was Mara. A son has been born to Naomi. And they named him Obed. Obed was the father of Jesse. And Jesse was the father of David, who was in the lineage of Christ.
Yes.
So isn't it something what God can take with a bitterness in our soul? When we will say, I don't want it anymore. I want to see the goodness of God around me. I want to say what God's word says about me. I'm going to prophesy to the darkness. And I'm going to tell it that it needs to go back from where it came. And I'll begin to tell others that the goodness of God is running me over. The goodness of God is upon my life. I will not be Mara. Not one more day of my life. 108 of Psalm says, 1 verse 2 and 3, my heart is steadfast, O God. I will sing and make melody with my being. We're going to sing and we're going to make melody with everything that we have. Awake, awake, O harp and lyre. I will awake the dawn in the middle of the night. I say, thank you, Lord. I love 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 you. You're so good. You're so good. You're so good. I thank you, oh God, for your presence. Thank you for honoring me with your presence. I love you, oh God. Thank you. I worship you. I worship you because you're so good. Great is your faithfulness to me, oh God. You're so good. You're so good. You're so good to me. I will wake the dawn. I will give thanks to you, oh Lord, among the peoples. I will sing praises to you among the nations for your steadfast love. And the Spirit of the Lord would say to you, tonight I have come into this house to speak to you to stop the enemy. Stop Mara in your life. To take upon yourself a song. My song, says the Lord. And as you sing my song of worship and praise, and out of your mouth shall come rivers of living water, I will move you into that place of more than enough, that more than plentiful. Others are going to begin to take and eat and have hope because you refused Mara and you took on Naomi, said the Lord. What you just heard, in case you don't know, according to the Word of God, you just heard a message in tongues, an interpretation of tongues, which is part of the gifts of the Spirit. We'll give thanks among the people. I will sing praises to you among the nations, for your steadfast love is great. Above the heavens, your faithfulness reaches way beyond. Our pleasantness is returning. Our focus turns to others. We find our greatest moments when we start investing in others. Become an investor of other people. Our life, our purpose, our vision becomes clear when we partner with God. You feel like you're so muddied up, you're not supposed to, what you're supposed to do. You feel confused every day. God says, you're not taking enough time with me. I want to speak to you. You may have come in as a Mara, forgetting or not understanding that you're known by God. He knows your name, and it's not supposed to be Mara. Not supposed to be Mara. Naomi is coming home tonight. God knows, God sees, and your story is not finished. Women of God, men of God, your story is not over. Doesn't matter how hard it is right now, your story is not over. As we begin, as they begin to sing tonight. If you're Mara, you came in Mara, it's how you felt. You want your song back. It's just that simple. You want your song back. When we realize, or maybe you said, I've never had a song, it's time to get a song. Because the song of the Lord will brighten the dark days of your life. Because sometimes out of our mouth we're saying, oh, devil, you are just doing such a great job. I am so frustrated. I'm so tired. Everybody just makes me mad. Nothing goes right. Oh, yeah. What a pitiful song, right? But God says, you can just sing a song to me. Oh, God, you are good. You are so good to me. You see me at all times, Lord. I know that you love me. I know that you care. You seen me in my darkest time. You never left me alone there. You've loved me all of my life. Even in those times when I was walking in darkness and not in your light. I love you. Oh, I love you. Would you lift a song of the Lord? Maybe you haven't had a song. Maybe you haven't sung a song to the Lord. Well, now's a good time. Now's a good time to just, it may be uncomfortable, but okay, wouldn't you rather be Naomi than to be Mara? Wouldn't you rather be pleasant than bitter? Come on, women of God. Come on, men of God. Look. I don't want to live the rest of my life in darkness and the enemy still in my kids around me. I don't want to live there. I want the enemy to know that I stand in the light. Even when it's hard, I'm going to worship him. Oh, I worship you. Oh, we worship you. I worship you, oh God, I worship you. You're so worthy, Lord. Oh, you're so worthy, Jesus. Oh, you're worthy. You are worthy. You are worthy, Lord. Oh. Oh. God, you are good. Oh, you're so good. never leave me alone. You sent your angels before me. They surround me. They guard me. They protect me. I shall not fear, because you have not given me a spirit of fear. Oh, but you've given me a spirit of power. You've given me a spirit of love. Oh, and I thank you for a sound mind, God. Thank you that that's what you've given to me. You've given me a sound mind. You've given me the mind of Christ. So I shall speak out of the mind of Christ. I will not listen to my soulish realm that has been influenced by negative thoughts. Whoa. Oh, sing. Sing, oh daughters. Sing, oh daughters, this scripture. Sing, oh daughters. Sing, oh sons. Sing out, sing out, sing out. You may say, I've never been in anything like this. That's good, because God wants to take us somewhere we've never been before. Oh, la basso, la, 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 basso, I worship you. Oh, I worship you, I worship you. I praise you because you're worthy. You're worthy, you're worthy, you're worthy, you're worthy, you're worthy, you're worthy, you're worthy. Oh, you are worthy. Oh, you are worthy. If you happen to be in this house and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, but you say, I know that there's something that's happening. I know there's something that I need that I don't have. Would you make your way to the front? We're not going to prolong it, but if you're in this house, you came empty, but you want to leave full. Maybe you've known Jesus, but you've just drifted back. You've just drifted afar. Came in empty. God wants to take you home full. Would you come? You don't have to have hands laid on you. We will if you want to, but you don't have to. I would just invite you, if you want to push in and you just feel like, I just got to get up to the front, but I'm just a little bit embarrassed. I would encourage you, just come on and get up in the presence of God. Come on up and just step out. A walk of faith, a walk that says, I want to leave here full. I am not going to go home from this conference the way I came in. I am going to go home full of the presence of God. I am going to go home, and I know that God is doing a work in my life.